Well, this is a unique Sunday. I don't know if you've really thought about it. For all of you that are here, you have perfect attendance this year so far. You ever think about that? So you got a star by your name so far in 2017. I mean, how many of you made some type of resolution or some type of promise? Maybe you didn't write it down, but maybe you thought it maybe last night or even prior to last night. How many of you really did that? We got a few people. Some of you are like going, I just gave up on that, right? When I was reading an article, I was just kind of fascinated about what they said that some of the top things of this year and last year will be that people write down for their resolutions of what they want to happen to in this new year. And the first one, can you guess what it is? Lose weight, yes. That's the number one thing that everybody says every single year. And I think it's because after Christmas, all our pants are tight, right? And I think, yeah, I could put that one up there, but I know me too well, I wouldn't do that. And then the next one was manage debt, save money, get a better job, spend more time with family. And I thought, shouldn't that be a little bit higher? I mean, shouldn't that be number one? But that's the order. Quit smoking. I just kind of laughed at, well, if you don't quit smoking, you won't be spending more time with family probably. Eat right. It really kind of goes along with the eating less, but that's another one that they put up there. Get a better education. Go back to school. And then here's kind of a new one is to go greener. I thought that's something that you do. You know, just live differently. Reduce stress. And then volunteer to help others. Those are the top 10 things that people say that they're going to do for this year, and then also kind of blending it with last year. And I think all of us can resonate with one of those things where we want something better in the new year. For myself, I've just given up. I don't make resolutions. Because if I say I eat less, you know what I do? I eat more. And if I say I'm going to exercise in the new year, you know what I say? I'll start tomorrow. And so I just said, why even bother make these resolutions? Because what they actually said is that 60 to 80% of people, that's kind of a big gap, but they say 60 to 80% of people, by their first week, break every resolution that they've made. And then after 3 months, 95% of the people actually fail every one of the resolutions that they actually presented at the beginning of the year. You know, it's important to set goals. It's important to want to see something in the new year different than it is this year. But I think the problem is that we're setting these goals and they really don't mean a lot to us. I know there's some people that are goal setters. Krista, she loves to set goals. Poor Tim has got goals for him. She probably has goals for the family. I'm just picking on Krista. I love that she loves goals. And there's other people that I know here that they love setting goals and that kind of drives them. And that's all great. But for me, when I set a goal, sometimes it's like, oh, this is like a dread. Because that means I got to follow through on that. I got to make sure that thing happens. And what happens though is the goals that I set quite often aren't goals that are of my heart. It's not about becoming something. It's about achieving something. And that's why I think that quite often we miss the mark when we start to set goals. And I don't want you to think setting goals is not important, because it is important. But there's an and to this. As you set a goal, the and that we need to place on that is what do you want to become? Because if you don't think about and fully process what you want to become, goals are really meaningless. Goals are just set for you to achieve or to accomplish something, but not in the area that really matters. And so as you're kind of thinking about the new years and some things that you want to see in your life, I want you to think about this principle. It always is a mistake to decide what you want to do until you have determined what you want to be. It is always a mistake when you decide what you want to accomplish before you decide what you want to become. And what happens is if we kind of decide to put the goals of accomplishing before we decide what we want to become, what happens is kind of like putting the cart before the horse. Because what you want to become, the real you that's on the inside, is about your character. And your character really matters. And a lot of us don't look at the character of what we want to become in the new year. So the goal for you this year is to maybe reevaluate some resolutions, or maybe even make one, and make becoming goals. That I want to become this type of a person in 2017. Because those things become very, very real to us. And the reason that I think it's a mistake that if we don't stop and slow down and decide what we want to be before we decide what we want to accomplish, what happens is we kind of get in trouble. And we kind of lose way. And what happens is you can be a person who sets goals and achieve things. And before long, your achieving goes further than your character. And who you are. And that's a big mistake, because what happens, all of a sudden, your talents, your abilities will surpass the character of you. And that's when everybody starts to fall. And that's when people start to look and say, they are not who they claim that they are. I mean, this is kind of easy, I think, to illustrate in our culture. You look at the political scene. Quite often you have these guys and women that have incredible power. They've achieved success. They have wealth quite often. But yet they make decisions that cause them to tumble or cause them to fall. There's a character problem. Their abilities and their success far surpassed their ability to handle the success. You look at the movies. Or Hollywood and actors and actresses. I mean, you just look through and see what's happened over the last year. How many actors that were so successful had so much money, or singers have so much money, but yet they make really bad decisions about how they spend the money, and they go into bankruptcy, or they go into moral collapse. Well, it's because they wanted to accomplish things, and they set those goals, and they used their talents to accomplish those things, but they never did the hard work about the character of who the person is. They never thought about, who do I want to become? You know, when I was thinking about this, for some reason Noah Noyes kept coming to mind. And I don't know why. Noah, if you're here, I don't see you. He's hiding somewhere. I'm just not seeing him. Where are you at, Noah? Wave at me, Noah. Come on. He's hiding? Oh, maybe he didn't make it. Uh-oh, he's in trouble now. I won't repeat that. Noah's getting ready to go into the military. It's his heart's desire to become a Marine. And his abilities and his talents that he has are going to push him forward. And his drive on the inside is going to drive him to the point he's going to be very successful in the military, because he has the passion and the desire to become this. But the question that I want him to ask for himself, and this is for us too, and where we find ourselves, is, who do you want to become? Because in the military, in the Marines, or in our jobs, or wherever we're at, there's a pressure to become something else. You can be a good Marine, you can be a good employee, but you have to become something. Who do you want to become? And that's a very difficult thing for us to weigh out, but it's one of the most important things that I think we have to process through. Because character matters. Because in the end, when you're in a relationship with a husband or wife, or you have friendships, all of a sudden all your talents and everything will slowly be stripped away, and the character of who you really are comes out. I remember coming into to ministry and seeing all these big pastors. It was kind of in the early 2000s and 90s were kind of fresh in my mind. What happened is some of these really big pastors, all of a sudden they did moral and ethical things that caused these huge ministries to completely collapse. And I kept asking myself, why? Why in the world would somebody strive to achieve so much greatness, make decisions, and do things that would cause their whole world to collapse? And it comes down to, they never ask the question, who do I want to become? Because when you ask yourself, who do I want to become, all of a sudden that becomes your focus. Not all the achieving, not all the success. And if you focus on becoming, what happens is when you're successful, all of a sudden you can handle the success. Because you've done the hard work. Not just setting goals randomly to achieve things and to be and just to look skinnier or more beautiful this year. But really deep goals for this year. There's a character I want to look at. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Daniel chapter 6. As we begin this year, starting January 15th, we're going to do a series out of Daniel. And it's based on the book Thriving in Babylon. And we're going to walk through that together because you look at the character of somebody and you realize that is what really matters. Your character really matters. Who you want to become really does matter. And Daniel is an incredible example for us of how to live a life in this culture where there's so much pressures to become something else, but to become the person of God that God desires us to be is Daniel's goal. And it should be our goal as a Christian as well. That we become the people that God intends us to become. And it's not easy. It's difficult. It requires a ton of work. But it's worth it. Daniel's, this section of Daniel, it's kind of glossed over and we kind of skip through it because we want to get to Daniel in the lion's den, right? We want the exciting stories. But I remember just reading this just about 3 weeks ago as I was thinking about the series that we're going to go into, and because it's all based in Daniel, I started to go, this guy is incredible. He's an incredible example for us of how we set our eyes on God and become more like God. And in the story that we're going to look at, Daniel, he's a young man and he's rising up. His fame, his power, and all the favor of the king start to flow over to Daniel, and he could have let that all go to his head. He could have let his success and his fame outweigh his character, but he decided to focus on what he wanted to be, and that was a man of God above all things, and he wanted to be known for being faithful to his God, and he put that as his laser focus. And Daniel, he's very, very young, but yet very successful. And the king started to see that he could manage things. And the king decides, hey, instead of me doing all the work, Daniel, this guy, he's got it going. Why do I have to do all this stuff? So he turns over the work to Daniel. And it starts in chapter 6, verse 3. It says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps, and those are basically like your political middle managers, if you will, in the kingdom. By his exceptional qualities that the king, and that was King Darius for you history people, they planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And it's because he distinguished himself, and it's because he had exceptional qualities that the king said, whoa, this guy is good, and I'm going to turn over my whole kingdom to him. I'm going to let him manage it all. I'm going to trust him with it. And this was a big thing. And then verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. So basically, you have a bunch of people who are bent on trying to dig up dirt on Daniel. They're trying to find anything that they can possibly find in his character, in the way that he manages his affairs in the government, in the way that he takes care of the power and the prestige that was given to him. If they can dig anything up, they're looking for it. And you have a bunch of them because these guys are jealous. Because they're thinking, who is this young Jewish boy who is not of us? Who is he that he can take over and manage the kingdom for the king? And so they set out to try to determine and find something, a flaw in his character, a flaw in who he is. And then it goes on. It says, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because. And this is where you start to get into the heart of what shapes the person, the character, the unseen part of us that kind of reveals its ugly head in times of success and in times of difficulties. But these guys are mining. They're looking. They're trying to find whatever they can. And they said, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. I mean, this is a staggering comment about an individual. That you had the news reporters, the investigative reporters like of our time, digging in on the character of the person, and they couldn't find a thing wrong with him. The way that he handled his job, the way that he showed up to work and put in everything that he had into the job and his attention to detail, but his integrity, how he treated people. If he said he's going to do that, he did it. And he's like that. They're like, going, we can't find anything. He's unbelievable. And then finally, these men said, we will never find anything, any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it is something to do with the law of his God. I mean, that's an amazing statement. We've done the digging. We spent hours of research on this guy, and we couldn't find up anything. But maybe we can find fault because he doesn't serve the same God that we serve. Daniel serves the one true God, and he's faithful, and he will not worship the gods in Babylon. Because he's been instructed by his God that he's supposed to live his life in a certain way. And he lives his life in a certain way. The people can see that he's true to what he says he is. But so then they start to make plans and they try to say, okay, let's find something wrong with his God and his faith. And they kind of do some plotting and we'll look into that in a few weeks. But every time I read this story, I can't help but say this. I want to be that type of a person. And I don't know about you. Do you want to be that type of a person in 2017? Have you even thought about that? That you want to become the person of God that loves God with so much passion, with so much vigor, that you live every moment for his glory, and every word that you say, every action that you do is to glorify God. That's becoming something that matters. Yes, it's great to achieve all these things, but if you don't have the character in the end, it does not matter. Because people will eventually see who you really are, and when they find out who you really are, that's when people fall. Daniel's like going, this is who I am. I believe in God. And I want my life to glorify him. And when these guys dug in, that's all they could find. And I remember reading that story way back even. And it's good to do resolutions. It's good to do goals. So I'm not taking away from that because those are important. But when I started to come into ministry, I went to Cornerstone University. I didn't know why I was there because I wasn't planning on being a senior pastor. Wasn't on my radar. My wife probably wouldn't have married me. And it wasn't something that I had like this, like, okay, God, this is what I want to accomplish. But it was just more of me going, okay, God, you put this on my heart. Here I go. I have no clue what you want to do. Well, while I was there, they made us read a book. And I really don't like to read books unless they're good because I get kind of bored with them. And they made us read this book by Stephen Covey, and it's the Seven Habits of a Highly Effective People. I mean, it's a book, honestly, that at that point in my life, that really did kind of shape who I am on the inside. I remember when we went into this, the prof told me that we're going to have to write an 8-page paper on what we want to become. And I'm like, yeah, right, 8 pages? And then from those 8 pages, we would have to slowly whittle that down to a single words of what we wanted to become, and that would become the thing that we focused on and we tried to live our lives through. And in this book, as Stephen Covey said, to stop everything that you're doing. And I'm like going, well, when an author says that, I usually close the book. But I was kind of drawn in because he said, I want you to start thinking about the concentric circles of relationships that you have. And in other words, the people that you have relationships with. And he says, I want you to start looking at all these different, from where your workplace, to your relatives, to your friendships, to your just casual acquaintances. Look at all those things. And then ask the question, what do you want them to say about you when you die? And I know you've heard this before, and you've probably heard it in different ways, and you've heard it at funerals. But in this moment, I had to actually stop and actually go through this process. And let me tell you, this process of determining what I wanted to become before determining what I wanted to achieve was a very difficult and long process, but it has shaped who I am, what I want to become. Have I arrived there? Oh, no. No, I still have flaws. I still have a lot of them. But what happened, instead of just having a goal that in life to achieve and accomplish, all of a sudden this goal to become what God wants me to become became kind of like a parameter of how I filtered and how I would live my life and have my relationship with my wife. Because I didn't realize how important it was, because nobody ever stopped me to actually think about this and process this. And it was probably the greatest exercise, but also the most painful exercise that I went through. And then at the same time, we read a book, which I can't even remember the author, because it was the worst book I've ever read in my life, about setting goals. But I remember he kind of said it like this: anytime you set a goal, you should answer the question, why should I accomplish this goal? In other words, what's at stake if I don't do this? And kind of along with those two books, we had to determine all the way down to a single word what we wanted to become. And some of the things that came into my mind as I did this was honest. I wanted to tell the truth. I wanted to be the person who, that even if I lied, I would say, you know what, I just lied. I'm sorry. I would tell the truth at my own expense to make sure that I was honoring God. And what's at stake was my character, who I am, how people view me. And then there was another thing that the word that I came up in my mind came out of Matthew chapter 5 verses 37, and this is like a verse that many people have heard me quote, and it's just stuck. When Jesus said this, he says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So what I thought in that moment, I said, I wanted to be a person of my word. I know it's more than one word. But I wanted to, that when I would say yes, I would follow through. If I said no, I meant no. I wouldn't waver back and forth. And let me tell you, that kind of is a difficult thing at times. Because there's times where, you know, I don't want my yes to be yes, and I really don't want my no to be no, or I want to please somebody, I want to do something that people like, so I might want to kind of compromise that truth a little bit. But what I found out is because I made that as the center of one of the parts of my character that I wanted to become, is I wasn't just sinning, I was failing. And that was a weight for me. It's like when I would do something, I wouldn't follow through on something, and I don't always follow through because life gets busy, I get overwhelmed, and sometimes I forget. But when that happens, when I forget or I don't follow through on something, it hits me hard. And I go to the person that I failed, I'm sorry that I did these things. I'm sorry I let you down. Because that's not just a goal that I want to accomplish. It's something I want to become. And then the other thing that came up was faithful. And like, I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to my wife. I want to make sure that I'm faithful to people. And I started asking the question, why are these things important? What's at stake if I'm not honest? I won't have a good relationship with my wife. I won't have a good relationship with anybody. Because with honesty comes trust. Without trust, it's hard to have relationships, isn't it? It's hard to engage with people and have them look at you and go, you're a person that I'm going to share stuff with. You're a person that I can count on. And honesty, everything's at stake. Our marriages are at stake. Our friendships are at stake. And I started thinking about being a person of my word. Well, what's at stake? Well, people would start thinking that I couldn't be counted on. They'd start to think that I wasn't dependable, and I would let people down, and then people would be alone, and they would feel like they were betrayed. And I said, okay, God, I want that to be part of who I am. And then when I was faithful, I started thinking about faithfulness. I'm going, why faithfulness, God? What's at stake? Well, if I'm not faithful to God, I'm going to compromise my values. I'm not faithful to my wife. My moral character falls. And if I'm not faithful, if I'm not choosing to be faithful, then forgiveness doesn't come through. Because sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes my wife does things to hurt me. But then I have to faithfully, because I'm faithful to her, I have to faithfully forgive her. A lot's at stake. With all these things, you know what's at stake? Is intimacy in relationships, which we all crave. And we all desire. And I started to realize that God was shaping me and preparing me for ministry because I was terrified. I was terrified to sit there at Cornerstone and go, what in the world am I doing here? Because God, I just watched this guy that I thought was a spiritual giant on the national scene all of a sudden do some really stupid things, and his ministry completely crashed. Why? Why, God? God, this person that I had a lot of confidence in, they cheated on their spouse. Why did that happen, God? Why do all these things happen? It's because the person set goals, and their achievement and their success went beyond their ability of what they could handle. Because they never did the hard part of asking what they want to become. So let me ask you, have you set a become goal for 2017? What do you really want to become? What do you want to be known for? When you pass away, what do you want your parents to say about you if you go before them? What do you want your children to say about you? What do you want your friends to say about you? What do you want your bosses to say about you? What do you want your relatives to say about you? How about your neighbor? What do you want them to really say? And I would encourage you that you take the time to do this, because you'll discover something. You'll discover that all the things that you want to be are right here. Honesty, guess what? That's not original. It's right in here. Faithful, it's right here. The Lord is faithful. Being a person of your word, let your yes be yes, your no be no. It's like it's all here. All of a sudden you start to discover that everything that you really need to become is here. And then when you set some of those become goals, you start to open up this word and you start to go, wow, this really means something. And it's not that when you break that goal, it's not like it's like, oh, darn it, I just messed up. Or, oops, my bad, I sinned. All of a sudden it starts to ruin something inside you. It wrecks you, because all of a sudden you realize you're not becoming the one that God's always intended you to become. And you start to evaluate your life. And you open up a Colossians, which I would encourage you to study this and apply this for 2017. This is incredible verses. Because all of a sudden you start to see that when I become this, I feel complete. When I become this, I feel like I'm achieving what God has desired. And there's a satisfaction on the inside. And then you have the author starting in verse 1. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Don't set your goals based on all these things that, around the world, that's just going to accomplish something. I mean, you look at all the resolutions that were set. All of the top 9 of them are all about me and my focus, about this earthly focus. Let's focus on these things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. And then he says, because of all these things have happened, these truths of if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you died with him in the grave, you've been rose to a new life, and when he returns, you'll be with him in glory. He says, since these things are true, he says, do this, put to death Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual impurity, sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, and greed, which causes idolatry. And he says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming because of these sins, because of these things that aren't making us into what God has wanted us to become. The wrath of God, there's judgment that's going to come. He says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And then he says, now remember, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must do something. This is what you want to become. You must rid yourself of all such things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Why would he list all those? Those are character things. We're focusing on the inside, the invisible part of us, to become something new in this new year. He says. Then he goes in verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. In other words, get rid of the old self. Get rid of your old habits. Put on this new stuff that you're becoming. And then he says here, there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that's Daniel, clothe yourself. This is what we have to put on. Got to get rid of some things. We got to, if you will, figuratively undress. Take those old things off that he just listed. He says, since you're God's people, put on these things: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Oh, that's not enough. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then he says in verse 14, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And then verse 17. And whatever you do, whether it is in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this year, maybe our hearts could be focused on becoming what God wants us to become. That we take that last verse and we simply say that whatever I do, whether it's in my words or whether it's in my actions, I'm doing it all in the name of Jesus. Because I want my character of the inner me to reflect who he really is. See, that's what Daniel did. And the people started mining and they started digging in and they started to see that he was a person that he confessed he was. That he loved his God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and all of his mind, and he would not let anything pull him away from that. And he was going to be truthful. He was going to do his job to the best of his abilities. He was going to be the best friend that he could be. He was going to be he wasn't a husband, but for us that are husbands, we should be the best husbands or the best wives that we can be. Children, you should be the best children that you can be. You should be obedient to your parents. I know you don't want to hear that, but you should. Don't, if you're setting this new year as something about building character, don't lip off to them. Respect them. You may not agree with them, but respect them. Because it's building the character inside of you. And you're reflecting the image of God. The thing is, nobody can help you with this exercise. I can't preach it into you guys. We can't sing it into you. I can't talk it into you. This is something that you have to desire for you. And if you desire to become what God has designed you to be, you begin to walk in the path that He has designed for you. And you're following the Holy Spirit. And you're becoming a person that you say you are. You're becoming a child of the living God. You're becoming that new creation that He's talked about. And all of a sudden your life isn't a reflection of this world. It's a reflection of the King. And then the disappointments are not goals that you set. The disappointments are that your character is not changing and becoming. So as you go to 2017, do a simple evaluation. Did you set become goals or just personal achievement goals? Because it's always a mistake to decide what you want to achieve before you decide who you want to become. It's always a mistake. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to You this morning, and I would ask, Lord, as we enter this new year, that You do something inside of us that is beyond us, that You give us a passion and a desire deep within to do everything, whether it's by word or deed, in Your name, so that You will be glorified, so that when people go digging around in our life, they will see something, that we're living up to what we confess, that we are Christians, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. God, we just thank You for Your word that pushes us forward, not to just go through this life with just going through motions, but letting You do a great work inside us. And Lord, we'd ask that Your Spirit would move inside us this year, and that You would do something incredible inside of us and make us into those people that You desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.